Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Think of it. The Creator of the universe, the King of the universe, would take on flesh. God would become man to save mankind. Now, why would God do that? It's amazing love. It's grace. It's mercy. And praise be to Him for that today. Thank you so much, Larissa. Turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll be looking at one verse again this morning, looking at verse 18, talking about prayer. Some principles of prayer. Now, we must keep in mind that the sentence continues here, beginning in verse 14 through verse 20. And the sentence continues to talk about the armor of God, but how we're empowered to use the armor of God is really and literally through prayer. And so these principles of prayer, the four alls of prayer, are communicated here in Ephesians 6:18. And I trust that we'll be challenged by that. Now, when you talk about prayer, it's something that's talked a lot about, even in our culture. You have unsaved people communicating, well, I'll pray for you about that. And normally what they mean is they're going to pray that things will turn out the way that they want them to turn out and what looks like it would be best from our perspective. And you have unsaved people talking about prayer. And so it's important for us to understand what prayer is really all about as far as the glory of God and how we can do it in a way that will truly please the Lord and that will get beyond what we might call kindergarten praying and praying for just very surface issues, but praying about all things, all the saints, all the time, the alls of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Let's stand as we read the Word of God together, please. Beginning in verse 10. Finally, as Paul starts to summarize this great epistle, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes, the wiles of the devil. For our struggle, our warfare, our spiritual warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, in high places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to resist or stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, of Satan, literally. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We'll stop right there. Let's pray, please. We praise you, Holy Father, for your amazing love. It passes knowledge, human knowledge. We are grateful that in your great love, you would send your Son, our Savior, to become and be made sin on the cross, to become the substitute for sin, the sin offering, that through it we would be made righteous in you, in Him, in Christ. It's truly amazing to think of that sacrifice, to think of your mercy, to think that you, a holy God, would become man and walk in a body. We are thankful. And we are thankful today that you've given us your revelation, your holy word to lead us and guide us. And you've given us the resource of prayer, the privilege of prayer, that we can worship you in prayer. And Father, it's our heart's desire today that we will grow in our prayer lives, that we will go beyond the kindergarten level to commune with you, the living God, and worship you, and to pray without ceasing. So instruct us through your Spirit today, knowing that He's the teacher, the Holy Spirit, and that He would illuminate the Scriptures to us, and that He would lead and guide and direct me in every word today in a way, Lord, that I would please you and honor you and worship you by the delivery of your word to your sheep. May I not mess it up on the way, Lord, in delivering it and serving it to your sheep, but Lord, may I be faithful to you in saying exactly and only what you would have me to say. May you be honored and pleased. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. If there is a common area of dissatisfaction in most Christians' lives, it would be in the area of our prayer lives. If that is the case for you today, you're in good company. For even spiritual giants like Charles Haddon Spurgeon from another era made this statement about his prayer life, and I quote, "I usually feel more dissatisfied with my prayers than with anything else I do." End quote. And I identify with that statement. For I humbly say I'm in the Word of God every day. It's a part of my life. And studying the Word is a part of what I do as a pastor teacher. But oh, how easy it is to slack off in the area of fervent prayer. The results are disastrous for all of us when we do. We are weak when we might be strong. We are anxious and full of worry and cares when we might have peace and yield to the flesh rather than walk in the Spirit. As the hymn writer said, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And beloved, the bottom line is we lose out when we don't pray. We are the losers. And I don't want you to get the impression by what I've said that prayer is all about us and what we can get. For a big part of prayer is praise and thanksgiving and ascribing glory to God. Ultimately, it's all about Him. But in God's plan, He has ordained that through prayer we experience His power and His peace. And it is a means to accomplish the end that He's already ordained. In fact, God has ordained that prayer is the energy that enables us as Christian soldiers to put on the armor of God and to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. For prayer is a part of the one sentence in the Greek that begins in verse 14 and doesn't end until verse 20 in Ephesians 6. Prayer then becomes a closing part of this great sentence about the armor of God. But note that through prayer, though prayer is closely related to God's armor, it is not mentioned as a part of it, because it is more than that. Prayer works in concert with the armor. Paul is not saying that in addition to the armor, add prayer. He is implying that prayer is woven into the armor. In other words, all through the procedure of arming ourselves and undergoing the demands of the battle, we are to be engaged in prayer. All the while that we're standing firm with all the pieces of the armor, we are to be in prayer. Prayer is the vital spiritual air that the soldier of Christ breathes. It is the all-pervasive strategy in which warfare is fought. For you see, Paul realizes when the spiritual battle gets hard, and when the spiritual battle is raging, soldiers easily become tired and weak and discouraged. True? And in our struggle with our enemy, it's either pray or faint. That's why Jesus would say in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And the only way to keep from being engulfed in temptation is to be aware of Satan's craftiness. And not only go immediately to our Heavenly Father in prayer when we are already under attack, but to pray in anticipation of coming temptation. Prayer is vital in spiritual warfare. It is essential. As we go back to Ephesians 6:18 with that in mind, Paul's admonition here toward the end of the book to pray at all times is not accidental, it is providential. For not only does it give final instruction about the believer's warfare, but it is a climactic truth of the entire epistle, of the entire letter to the Ephesians. The reason being, prayer fills all the Christian life. Ephesians begins by lifting us up to the heavens in chapter 1 and ends by pulling us down to our knees here in chapter 6. Now, with all that in mind, note that in Ephesians 6:18, Paul uses the word all 4 times to emphasize the priority of prayer. And the 4 alls in the verse introduce 5 emphases of prayer to us, which will be our outline under the title, The Four Alls of Prayer. And our 5 points will be, number 1, the practice of prayer. Number 2, the presence of prayer. Number 3, the power of prayer. Number 4, the perseverance of prayer. And number 5, the people we pray for, all the saints. And with those 5 points as our outline today, let's go to our first point, the practice of prayer. Look at the first phrase in verse 18, please. With all prayer and petition. Now the words prayer and petition or supplication, depending on which translation you have, refer to different kinds of prayer. And first of all, note that the word for prayer is the term that is used to talk about general request. It is prayer in general, a general word for request, or to offer prayer. And always the focus is on the Lord when we do that. In fact, if memory serves me correctly, it's never used in any other type of connotation. It's always focused upon Him. Now next we have the word petition. And the word for petition has to do with specific request. Asking for certain things. Specific things. And as you put those two words together, as you mesh them together, Paul makes a special point that the soldier's communion with his general, the believer's fellowship with his God, should not be of just one kind. Our prayer lives are not limited to one kind of praying. We offer praise to our Father in worship, not just asking Him for certain things. They're both involved in the idea of prayer and petition. Yet some people are always asking for things. Their entire prayer life is, "Give me, give me, give me." It's limited, one-sided, rather than multifaceted. They are not offering prayer as a means of worship. Beloved, prayer has more to do with just asking for certain things. But also it has to do with worship, which would include praise and thanksgiving, adoration, and confession of sin. That's all a part of prayer, you see. Now, the second word, petition or supplication, is more specific in our asking. Asking is involved. It's a part of prayer. And our prayer life should be definite, not just generalities. Generalities like, Lord, this morning bless all the missionaries in the world. Amen. Lord, bless all the churches in the world today. Amen. Lord, bless all the Christians all over the globe today. Amen. It needs to be a little more specific, like praying, Lord, we pray your hand would continue to be upon Mark and Sherry DeFelice, our missionaries to Italy, as they're on furlough. Continue to give them traveling mercies. Continue to use them with other believers to challenge them and admonish them and encourage them and grow them during this time of furlough. And could it be a time of rest also, Lord, for them as they're away from their home, Italy? And Lord, we would commit the McDuffies to you, John and April. We would pray for their three children. We'd pray for the souls of their three children. Continue to help them with the language that they're communicating. Continue to use them to establish the church and to plant churches there in Madrid, Spain, and the areas for you. And Lord, we would ask you to have your hand upon Alex and Yevgeny and Dmitry and Sergey in Russia. And the Lord, you would continue to use these men as they're in churches and planting churches, that they would preach your word with power and clarity. And the Lord, you would use them in the lives of the Russian people. And Lord, have your hand upon Barb Dunbar in Japan. We thank you that she's just passed her language test and that she's doing well there. Continue to keep her pure, protect her, use her in your church there. And I could go on and on. We just don't pray, Lord, bless the missionaries today. That's too general. So with all prayer and petition, pray specifically. And the believer who prays only again to ask for things is missing out on blessings that come with intercession and giving of thanks. It must be balanced. In fact, I think the selfish praying, the kindergarten praying, that a lot of people are involved with comes from a lack of understanding of what prayer really is all about. That's why the world can use it so freely. You know, our prayers are with them. And I've been praying for you. And when those individuals don't even acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but will use that kind of terminology, there's a lack of understanding of what prayer is all about. Prayer is not twisting God's arm to get our will, but submitting to Him to accomplish His will. Prayer changes us. As we focus on the eternal, as we're focing on God, we see all these things in our lives where we're lacking. I mean, when we were worshiping today, I was being convicted about sin in my life. Because if you focus on the holy God that we sang about, your sin just kind of comes to the surface as you're worshiping Him, because He is holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. And so a part of your worship is what? Confessing your sin before Him, praising Him for forgiveness, worshiping Him in adoration for that amazing love that Larissa sang about. It's response. Robert Law said, prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, it is getting God's will done on earth. It is an ordained means by God to accomplish what He has decreed. And in the part of His plan, He uses prayer. Truly, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in James chapter 5. The Lord uses prayer to accomplish His purposes in His sovereignty. And I don't understand how it all comes together, but that's what He's ordained. So it's not just a wasted breath or a wasted exercise. It's a powerful exercise. A powerful spiritual discipline that we need to be involved in with as Christians. And again, we don't want our focus to be so much on what I want, what I want, what I want. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, but you have not because you ask not. Now get this in verse 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You might consume it on your desires, on your lusts. We ask with wrong motives, selfishly, evilly. That's what the word amiss literally means. So let's be involved on one hand in specific asking, yes, but not selfish praying. Our prayer should be filled with praise, thanksgiving, adoration, and worship. That's the kind of practice of prayer that our Lord wants, which leads us to our second point today, the presence of prayer. Look back at verse 18, please. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times. Now, we're to pray at all times, and we're in the Lord's presence at all times. We don't have to pray, Lord, we come into your presence today. For we are always in his presence. We are always as close as the mention of his name. Our Father is always accessible. His eye is on the sparrow, so I know that he watches over me and sees everything I do and is well acquainted with my actions and my prayers. And I'm in his presence always. Because of that, when are we to pray? The answer is always. We're always in his presence. We are to pray always. And some of you, and I say this graciously, have come out of backgrounds where you read out of a prayer book or prayed at a certain time, which in essence limits prayer. We are not to pray at set times. We are to pray at all times. That's what the Scripture says here. Jesus said in Luke 21:36, "Watch ye therefore and pray a couple times a day." Pray always. In Acts 6:4, the apostle said, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer." And the key word is continually. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Colossians 4:2, it says, "Continue in prayer." In Philippians 4:6, it says, "In everything by prayer." And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, what does it say? Pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Then in 2 Timothy 1:3, the Apostle Paul indicated that he prayed without ceasing. He wrote this to Timothy, "Without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day." So it's clear that we are to pray always, to pray at all times, to pray without ceasing, to pray on every occasion. And to pray at all times, obviously, does not mean we are to pray in formal or noticeable ways every waking moment of our lives. Jesus did not do that, nor did the apostles. In fact, in Matthew 6, 5 and 6, Jesus said, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray." They want to be seen by people in the formality of the prayers. "In the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So to pray at all times does not mean we are to pray in formal and noticeable ways all the time to be seen of men. In fact, in Matthew 6, it's interesting, Jesus talks about three things that we do in secret. God rewards us openly. You pray in secret, you give in secret, you fast in secret. God rewards you openly. You don't blow the horn so everybody knows about what you've given or what you do or you're praying. But we're to be in the attitude of prayer all the time. But also to pray at all times certainly does not mean we are to devote ourselves to ritualistic patterns or forms of prayer that are recited mechanically from a prayer book or while counting beads or a rosary. And some do that very, very sincerely, and I understand that. But that amounts to no more than the meaningless repetition that characterizes pagan worship. Those are strong words, I realize that. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 6:7. "When you pray, use not vain repetition as the pagans do. For they think that they will be heard for their much speaking, going things, over and over and over again. Meaningless repetition, mechanical praying, mindless praying. We all have to be on guard about that. All of us. So what does it mean to pray always? Beloved, to pray at all times is to be in the attitude of prayer. It is to live in continual God consciousness, where everything we see and experience becomes a means to prayer, a breath of prayer. The prayer is like breathing. To pray always means when we're tempted, we hold the temptation before God and ask for His help. When we experience something good and beautiful, we immediately thank the Lord for it. When we see evil around us, we pray that God will make it right and be willing to be used of Him to that end. It means when we meet someone who does not know Christ, we pray for their soul and to use us to be a faithful witness to them. It means when we encounter trouble, we turn to God as our deliverer, as our refuge and strength, as we sang about earlier, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. As the psalmist said in Psalm 50, verse 15, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Beloved, to put it another way, praying always means our lives become a continual ascending prayer. That's what it means to pray always. A perpetual communing with our Heavenly Father, and almost anything can trigger prayer. That's what it means to pray at all times. The psalmist said in Psalm 63:1, "Early will I seek thee." It starts early, doesn't it? Actually, it starts the night before. Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning and noon will I pray." Jesus continued all night in prayer to God in the Gospels. 1 Timothy 5:5 says that godly widows, this is what they do, they continue in supplication and prayers night and day. And my point is, prayer should be a way of life. Let's learn to take up opportunities to redeem the time for prayer and continually be mindful to pray. Let's allow the daily events of life to be alarms to trigger prayer. Things that are happening all the time around us. I'll elaborate more on that as we talk about watching and being to be involved in perseverance in our prayers. So the presence of prayer, praying always, should be like breathing. Breathing to us, which leads us to our third point today, the power of prayer. Look back at verse 18, please. "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit." Now, the power of prayer comes from praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And praying in the Spirit is talked about several times in Scripture. For example, in Jude verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." Romans 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we know not for what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." They're inutterable. Verse 27, "And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And those are some scriptures that communicate that we are to pray in the Spirit. But what it means to pray in the Spirit is sometimes misunderstood and debated. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, let me say that to pray in the Spirit is to pray, first of all, in the name of Christ. To pray consistent with His nature and will, what He wants. Jesus would say in John 14:13-14, "And whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, I will give it to you. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, we don't want to misunderstand what Jesus is saying there. He's not communicating that we tack Jesus' name on the end of our prayers like waving a magic wand that everything's going to come about the way that we want to. No, when we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying with what Jesus would want, what is consistent with His will, what His desire would be in that particular circumstance. And when we're able to do that, that changes our praying. We're praying in the Spirit. The focus is not on self. It's being led and directed by the Holy Spirit. But also to pray in the Spirit is to pray in concert with the Spirit who helps our weaknesses, going back again to Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we know not for what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27 again, and He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So to pray in the Spirit is to pray with His help and in harmony with His will as revealed in His Word, because He inspired the Word, who is the author of Scripture. So our need is to line up our mind and desires with His mind and desires, which are consistent with the will of the Father and the will of the Son. As we are yielding to Him, He will lead us and direct us and guide us in our prayers. Again, praying in the Spirit, and I'm being repetitious, is synonymous with praying in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when a person does that, he is praying according to Christ's will. Now, how do we do that specifically? How do we pray in the Spirit? Well, we have to be filled with the Spirit. We have to yield to His control and then walk in the Spirit. We have to be filled with the Word of God, which is the mind of the Spirit. Correct? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Because as we're building and grafting the Word of God in our lives, the author of the Word of God directs us and uses that and leads us according to the revelation that God has given to us. To walk in the Spirit's power is to walk in the Spirit's leading. It's being able to be praying in the Spirit because our prayer will then be in harmony with what He wants, which is again what Christ wants. And as our lives are filled with the Holy Spirit, as our lives are filled with the Word of God, the Spirit will govern our thoughts so that our prayers will be in harmony with Him. He will lead us what to pray for as we are under His control. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. And that is the power of prayer. We need to be led by the Spirit as we are praying. Which leads us to our fourth point today, the perseverance of prayer. Look back at verse 18 again, please. With all prayer and petition pray, at all times, in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert, be watching, spiritually alert, with all perseverance and petition. Now, the idea of perseverance means to stick to it, or to continue. And we are to persevere in prayer, to continue in prayer, to stick to it. But also, we are to pray continuously while watching. Prayer involves being alert to the issues, literally, to watch. Remember what Jesus said earlier? I quoted to you in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch. Be alert. And the point I want to make from these verses is you can't pray properly unless you see what is happening, unless you watch, unless you are spiritually alert to what's going on around you. And as you look around and are alert, as you watch, your heart will be filled with prayer. It will be the result of seeing what is going on around you. Seeing God's eternal hand at work. The unseen hand of providence behind everything. And you're moved to prayer. You're spiritually alert about that. And as you watch and are alert, there are many things to pray for. Believe me. But unfortunately, many Christians never get serious about prayer or being watching or being alert until a problem arises in their own life and that gets their attention. Then they're alert. Or in the life of someone they love, they're not watching. They're not being alert. Then they are inclined to pray intently, specifically and persistently. Yet that is the way Christians should always pray. And sensitivity to the problems and needs of others, especially other believers who are facing trials or hardships, will lead us to pray for them night and day, as Paul did for Timothy. You may wake up in the middle of the night and you're prompted to pray for someone. You go to bed, someone's on your mind. When you wake up, you're praying for people, committing the day to the Lord even. Again, 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, Timothy, night and day. So watching spiritual alertness to what is going on around us spiritually leads us to persevere in our prayers where we stick to it and continue and we don't give up. To use the Old Testament expression, we get a hold of the horns of the altar and we don't let go. In fact, Paul counseled the Colossians to devote themselves to prayer. In Colossians 4:2 again. And it's interesting that the Greek verb behind devote means to be steadfast, constant, and persevering. And to be on the alert with all perseverance and petition, verse 18, is to earnestly, courageously, and persistently bring everything in our lives before God that we are alerted to. We petition Him for those things. And that is the persistence of prayer, which leads us to our last point today. Number 5, the people we pray for. Look back at verse 18, please. With all prayer and petition, pray. At all times. In the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. Last phrase, for all the saints. Now, elsewhere, Paul commands us to pray for unbelievers, for government leaders, and for others. But here the focus is on all the saints. Believers, for all believers are saints, right? That is our position in Christ, not always our practice. We are set apart ones. We are sanctified ones in Christ. We are saints. So we're talking about just praying for all believers. Now note it is only saints who are involved in the spiritual warfare for which God provides the armor Paul has just been describing in verses 14 through 17 of Ephesians 6, and are who are able to pray in the Spirit. An unbeliever can't pray in the Spirit. An unbeliever can't put on the full armor of God. So we are to pray for one another for all saints. And let me say in light of that, and emphasize this again as I did earlier, that it is not inappropriate to pray for ourselves any more than it's inappropriate to pray for physical needs. But just as the Bible primarily calls us to pray about spiritual needs rather than physical, it primarily calls us to pray for others rather than ourselves. The saints. Others. Can we pray for ourselves? Yes. Yes, absolutely. Can we pray about physical things? Absolutely. I mean, I've been praying for my wife physically in her recovery from surgery. Why? I don't want to do the housework anymore. No, there are other reasons that are involved that are, as far as the recovery process is concerned. But you know what? And I prayed this on several occasions. Lord, help us to grow and learn what you want us to learn through this surgery. You have a good purpose for that. You are in control. You are sovereign. So may we learn your purposes and get in sync with your purposes. But many times our focus is so much on the physical that we forget about the eternal purpose that God has behind what is going on. Again, realizing, we can't see it, that the unseen hand is always at work in the providence of God. And letting those circumstances around us as we're watching, as we're being alert, to move us to pray at all times. One of the greatest things we can do for another believer, for another saint, or that he can do for us is to pray for one another, to pray for the saints. Dave Hyman and I normally get together about once a month. We talk about worship and some accountability and some things like that. And we get together and we talk. And Dave told me this week, he says, I want you to know I've been praying for you about a matter. And it's a matter that I have a great burden about. And that Dave communicating to me that he was praying for me in that area was really an encouragement. It was really an encouragement in our relationship together as brothers in Christ in the body life. And that is the way the body of Christ grows spiritually as well as in love. For you see, when one member of the body is weak, wounded, or cannot function, the other members compensate by supporting and helping strengthen that person. Prayer. Pray for them. Holding them up before the Lord. In fact, Samuel said to the people of Israel, and this is rather convicting, and specifically and contextually, it's about the people of Israel, but certainly we can make application for one another. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you? Wow. Have you ever looked at it as sin when you're not praying for someone that you need to be praying for? Beloved, let's not sin against the Lord by not praying for each other. Let's pray for one another, for the saints. That's a part of our body life. I mean, we have all those one another's love, encourage, serve, admonish. But you know what it says in James 5:16? Pray for one another. Pray for all the saints. That is our privilege. That is our responsibility as we commune with our great God. In wrap up, we need to be involved in the practice of prayer, the presence of prayer, the power of prayer, the perseverance of prayer, and praying for the saints, the people of prayer. And we get those principles from the four alls of prayer in Ephesians 6:18. And I hope those principles move us to pray always and not faint, which leads us to our application today. Now, in this application, I'm going to ask you some questions. And I want you to take inventory. Don't take inventory for your spouse if you're married, or for your son or your daughter, or your mom or dad, whoever it may be this morning. Take spiritual inventory. Ask these questions of yourselves, please. Number one, do you pray specifically? If you don't, begin to find out specific needs you can pray for so you can give God glory for His answers. Don't pray generally. You may have to use a prayer list, a prayer journal, whatever will meet the need right there. We'll hand out a prayer list at our care group this afternoon. We'll write down specific prayer requests. Be specific. Number two, do you pray more for others or for yourself more? And again, it's not wrong to pray for yourself. We need prayer. I mean, I prayed this morning that the Lord would enable me to proclaim His Word faithfully, that I could please Him, that I could honor Him, that I'd be led and directed by Him. For whom do you pray more? For others or yourself? Number three, do you pray more for physical needs or spiritual needs? Do you pray more for people's physical needs or their spiritual needs? Again, if you're praying for physical needs and that's it, that's just kindergarten, folks. That's kindergarten. That's first grade. You're not moving on in your prayer life. You're not moving on to maturity, being established in the faith. If you pray more for their physical needs, reevaluate your priorities in prayer. Again, by all means, continue to pray for physical needs. God may heal that person. He is the great physician. We have confidence in Him that He is able, if He wills it. But again, begin to concentrate more on spiritual needs and eternal things. Pray that others will experience more victories over Satan's assaults in the daily battle. Pray for God's purpose to be accomplished behind the sickness, by the lack of money, by the heartache, by the grief, the sorrow, whatever they're going through at that time. Number four, are you praying always? Are you in an attitude of prayer? Are you in an attitude of prayer? Is it like breathing? Happening naturally all the time in your life? I mean, I don't think about breathing except maybe when I run 6 or 7 miles towards the end. You think about breathing a little bit more at that time. But the reality of the matter is, normally I don't ever think about breathing. I don't. I didn't wake up this morning and think, oh, I better pray. I better breathe. You know, I just did that. So the reality of the matter, that's what we're talking about when we come to prayer. And beloved, to follow through with the areas of need in your prayer lives, I would encourage you today to be accountable to someone in the area of prayer. We do that in the Word. We have people check up on us. Some of us do. In the area of, have you been in the Word of God this week faithfully? Have you been pure this week, checking up with us on our purity that way? Well, how's your prayer life been this week? Let someone follow up in these weak areas. Go to that accountability person and say, you know, I want you to check up on me in my prayer life now. I want to add that to the list. Maybe you're already doing that. Praise the Lord. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. The four alls of prayer. Can't conclude in a better way but to pray. Let's pray.